With the crazy motherfuckers known as ADHD. Yeah, you know what I mean. We're here to kick off the show. ADHD crew, you already know. Cheech here on the keys. He is getting crazy with Machete T. About to go crazy on that ass. Talk about grass-fed beef. Oh shit, we get no relief here at the show.
I thought you were done. I felt like the ending.
Yeah, that's good though. I can blame it on you when the rap's ain't. Fuck, she's just about to go into the cipher.
So we just paused real quick because we had some other people using the studio.
That's true.
Some people from the podcast that I've been listening to.
Yeah.
This podcast, like it's 1999.
Yeah, they were just in here doing some promos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where do these promos go?
They go right before the end of the show. They're like, all right, guys, next week.
Oh, okay. They don't just do that right then and there?
They do, but
they don't always know what they're going to do. Okay. So do you notice this? I saw these guys, and I told them, because I was like, hey, I listen to your show all the time.
Right, yeah.
But you notice I didn't say, I love your show.
And I noticed that you didn't say anything like, oh, I hate you. You're the annoying one.
I didn't say that.
You guys are too, can I give you advice on the wokeness of
y'all
the show?
Some bitches.
I didn't notice that, bro.
I was like, yeah, I listen to your show all the time.
Like, oh, thanks. I don't care if you like it. We got your
click.
Yeah,
sure. They got the download.
They got the click.
They got the download.
And they're going to get the click even after you're done listening to it.
How's the show doing? Pretty good?
Yeah, the show's doing great.
Yeah?
Yeah, over thousands of downloads.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're total.
Yeah. We appreciate that, though. That's the reason why I keep it going. I got to be honest.
What? You're going to cancel your show?
I was going to. Do you not know who I am? Reference to last week's show. Yeah, because I think our audience is in the thousands.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, which I'm like.
Not ours.
No,
definitely not ours.
Yeah, no. No. I think we get some good downloads.
That's cool.
And I'm just like, oh, you know what? We can work on that.
Mm-hmm.
We could work off of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, if there's 1,000 people out there that are listening, I appreciate it. It makes me feel good.
That's dope. I think 1,000 people listening to a fucking show is pretty fucking
it's
dope.
It's like, you know, each show gets some good downloads. And I don't want to give it up without it. But, you know, I appreciate every single person.
It's been on the line, okay? Hey, but I'm thinking about canceling a show.
That's
on Rebel Talk, right? Where?
Yeah, that's right.
Is the website all up and going, and can people, like, go and...
For ADHD?
For Rebel Talk.
Yeah, Rebel Talk Network.
Yeah?
Yeah. You can do either rebeltalk.net, which I thought was clever, because, like, network.
Uh-huh.
But I was like... Yeah, because everything else is RebelTalk.net, like if you want to find us on Facebook.
Oh, that's good.
So I was like, oh, Rebel.net, RebelTalk.net. So you can do that. You can go there or RebelTalkNetwork.com.
Oh, okay. And all your shows are listed on there?
They're all listed.
I think people should go through there. There's some gems in there for sure. How many are there on the network now?
I don't know. It's, you know, like 15.
15? Yeah, are we on the network?
No, we're on the network. Of course we are.
We are. Are we on the? Are we on the page? No.
Yeah, we are. We're on when you hit the all podcasts, but we're not featured though.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're featured. I have a video of you and talking, doing the
what? The nasty.
The the one where you did with Bonnie.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. But it's in the back page, though.
Yeah. It's on the back page.
It's on the back page. So, yeah. So, what do you want to talk about grass-fed?
Oh, no.
Beef?
I just wanted to say, when do you always go for grass-fed?
No.
No.
I would love to.
But
it's
you don't.
So goddamn expensive.
That's the crazy thing.
It's expensive.
That's why I'm questioning the grass-fed beef I'm buying, because it's not that expensive. It's almost the same price.
What are you shopping at? Stater Brothers?
Albertsons.
Okay, go on.
I'm because
you know what? There's a combo that I look for. Organic, grass-fed, and kosher.
You look for kosher?
Yeah.
Why?
Because, dude... Well, why you laugh?
What does it mean? What does it mean when it's kosher?
It means that the animal...
I thought all cow was kosher.
No.
I mean, because
they got to kill it in the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
What, does it taste better if it's killed the right way?
I think so.
What's the right way? Slit the throats?
Yeah, let it bleed out.
Is that the right way?
Yeah.
Isn't that how they always do it? No. Oh, they shoot him with an air gun, right?
Yeah, they do the deadbolt in the fucking head. They immediately die. And
you like to have a slow death.
Yeah. Because it's better for the fucking nerves.
Yeah.
Because when you get fucking deadbolted, right? Because the whole thing is that you want fresh, right?
Yeah.
Fresh.
Yeah.
So for the time the animals,
I want the cow to still be bleeding,
dude. It in some ways it is, but they from the time a fucking cow goes into the slaughterhouse and to the fucking markets is like a day.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
So they slit the throat and just let the thing bleed out.
Yeah,
that's the proper way.
Yeah, it's like more humane. You know what I mean?
Is it to slit the throat and let them and hang them upside down?
Yeah, the cows know beforehand that they're gonna be off. They're not stupid.
So people are what, sneaking up and slicing their throat when they're not paying attention?
Is what I'm saying is that it produces bad meat. That's the whole thing.
No, but like, what's the difference? They don't know that their throat's gonna be slit.
Yeah.
What, they fucking hire assassins or what?
Dude, free range is another good one for like not caged.
Uh-huh.
But if you know, like cage free roaming cows that are just that.
That are fucking that, just taking that, my surprise.
Yeah, they get one. They get a fucking.
It's just sneaking up on a cow and.
Yeah, basically.
They dressed up in a fucking grass suit and just creep up on them and just slit the throat. It's
like they start eating your costume and then you just slit their throat.
How do you think of, be honest now, because I know you're all about it. I know you're fucking woke as fuck when it comes to meat.
Jesus. Look,
but be honest. Okay. When you eat a corn, a regular cow.
A corn cow, you're going to say.
A regular.
A
corn-fed beef versus the grass-fed beef, which one tastes better? Which one not only tastes better, which one texturally better as well?
Grass-fed all the way.
Really?
Yeah.
I've not had the same experience. When I buy the grass-fed, I always wonder, am I actually eating any of this meat? Because there's so many fucking nerves in that shit or whatever, or nerves. Fucking tendons, or I don't know what. The meat's like more gristly or some shit. Like you chew on it and you chew on it, and then I end up having to pull out like half of it.
Yeah.
The other meat's just like, you just bite it and it just melts.
So put it this way. When I buy a whole chicken, a whole fucking chicken.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want it to be fucking like natural. And if it's organic, I'll fucking lick the bones if it's organic, like free range. But for some reason, if it has hormones in it, like whatever, maybe I won't go crazy.
Don't suck the bone.
I don't suck the bone.
I mean, you will, but not that bone.
You know, I mean, I'll get chicken strips, but it's the, you know, whatever. But but when I want to pay for like a whole chicken, and I buy whole chickens at the market, I buy a whole organic chicken, like organic free range.
But I totally agree that it's probably healthier, that it's healthier.
What?
The grass-fed beef.
Oh, I don't know.
Or better for you.
I don't know.
Has no hormones in it.
Okay. That sounds good, actually. I'll try it.
Yeah. But I mean, is it actually taste better?
Yeah.
Is the texture better?
Yeah. So I think it's on the cook. Bro. I think you got a few bad fucking flanks and you're fucking blaming the world.
I've gotten three or four times and they're always fucking like,
I think
like,
you need to shop someplace
some chewy
else.
Motherfuckers.
I think you need to get fucking out of Albertsons into Whole Foods, bro.
You think it'll make a difference?
Oh yeah,
I'll try it.
I think you need to try it, bro. I think you need to film it and try it.
You think so?
Yeah, you gotta show the gristle, and I want to see.
You'll see if I can
cast iron. You got a cast iron yet?
Yeah, I did get a cast iron
for this reason or no?
Well, I got it for it's technically a wedding gift, I guess. So I haven't opened it yet, but
yeah, you should open it, bro.
Should open
it's awesome, dude. It's like cast iron is the best way to cook when you're cooking those kinds of meats because you get that.
But the reverse sear shit,
you're on it.
It works. It works perfectly every time.
Told you.
Every time it comes out great.
Yeah.
So it's cooked perfectly. So I cooked You know, I make the grass-fed. It's cooked great. It's medium.
So what kind of butter are you using grass-fed butter to?
No, I'm not using grass-fed butter. I'm using the Land O'Lakes.
How dare you? That's the reason why you're fucking
shit. Well, that has fucking changes the fucking texture of the
meat.
Yes. No, it doesn't. Get off.
Dude, the fucking grass-fed Kerrygold has like a nutty flavor that I don't think fucking...
My steaks fucking tasted bomb as fuck. Right, the flavor is great on the grass-fed. It's good. Oh, okay, cool. But the fucking texture is garbage.
I think it's just the fucking chef.
This cow's too strong.
I think it's the chef.
There's a reason why they get those cows fat. Because they taste better when they're fat. And they're softer.
Supple.
Like when they're doing the Kobe beef, you know, they want the fattest cow possible.
Yeah, I know. Me too, in life. Dude, have you had a, like, what's the finest piece of meat? How much money have you, my wife's listening. Yeah. Future wife. How much, I changed it because I'll say, what is the most expensive meat you've ever had? I don't want his name. how much money have you dropped at a fucking restaurant?
For a steak
or meat?
I have dropped a few times, like $80 for a steak.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was
a steak. No.
So I've done it a couple times.
Where was it at?
So one time, this is one that wasn't worth it. Gotcha. It easily was not worth it. Went to, I was in New York.
Okay, go ahead.
No, there's another one. Shit. No, but that wasn't $80. Yeah. But I went to New York and we went to an Argentinian restaurant and I had a steak from there and it was good. It wasn't $75 worth, which I think is how much it was. And it was nice big steak, but it was good, but it wasn't like fucking toe curling or some shit.
I saw some, I went out,
but that was not the only one. The one that I did spend like $80 on that was actually really good was at New York.
Oh, nice.
You know, they got the steaks dry aging in the window.
Yeah.
Bomb. It was bomb. Everything from that restaurant was bomb.
I was doing a deep dive on fucking Salt Bae.
Oh, yeah?
On YouTube.
Yeah.
He's dope. I saw his life story. I'm like, good for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He has like fucking all these restaurants now. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. So I want to go to his restaurant and fucking...
Yeah. I want to go to a Gordon Ramsay restaurant. I haven't been.
Are you shitting me?
For real.
Oh.
Have you been?
Yeah, dude.
Which one?
The London, up the street.
There's up one, the street?
Yeah, it's on fucking La Cienega.
How much is it?
I don't know. It was not that expensive. I don't remember.
Is it a fucking restaurant or is it like a pub?
It's a hotel restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a restaurant in the hotel. It's at the London, his hotel, right?
He has a hotel?
Yeah, called the London.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
I think that's his. Anyway, but no, his restaurant, it's his restaurant for sure.
Yeah, it's his restaurant.
But it's Gordon Ramsay London, and the hotel's called London, so why would he only own the restaurant and not the hotel? So I don't know. Anyway, there's pictures of Ramsay everywhere, bro. So,
okay.
Like little cardboard cutouts of him.
Really?
No, it's me. But yeah, I went to his...
Is it bomb? Really, what'd you get?
You know what I got?
Steak.
Beef Wellington.
Oh, you got the beef Wellington?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, fuck, that's dope.
Yeah.
Is it bomb? Perfection?
So good.
You didn't yell at him?
Fucking good. Mashed potatoes. What else was on there? I got Yorkshire pudding.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
I want beef Wellington.
Of course. You got to get the beef.
Because it looks like something like, oh, fuck, I'm never going to make that at home. It's too fucking so involved.
Hard. It's so, I mean, while doing the deep dive, I mean, I guess I realized it. Just
have you tried?
What?
To make one?
I saw this process.
I watched some of the videos explaining it, but yeah. It's like, it's a lot of work.
It is fucking a lot of make work. It's a lot of work.
And it's expensive as fuck because you have to buy like
that filet.
It's like two filets.
You know, it's one big filet mignon.
Yeah, it's like almost fucking two.
I think it's probably like a $60 or $70 cut of meat.
Yeah.
At least. What's the most money you've dropped on meat at like a grocery store?
At a grocery store?
Yeah.
I mean, I usually buy them individually, like a one steak at a time. No. So, I mean, I'm like, I'll just go.
No, but I'm saying, like, you ever
oh, for like a bought, party or something?
I don't know. You bought lobsters and you're like,
nah, I don't buy lobsters.
All right. Just, dude, I don't know. I'm asking. I'm just asking. Like, you know,
not a lot. Cause I mean, for a couple part, you know, I guess for parties or whatever, you just buy whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I don't know. I don't know. You?
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. What's how much have you spent?
Yeah, I've spent a few hundred bucks on like getting stuff
get?
For dinner. I got like a basically it was like surf and turf. Mm-hmm. So I got shrimp, but I got these Argentinian shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, they're already pink, even though they're not cooked. Uh-huh. They look like they're cooked. So fucking.
So you didn't have to actually cook them.
No, I mean, they're raw and they were pink, and I was like, wait a second, they shouldn't be or not pink, but you know, the red.
They
color,
look cooked, yeah.
And they're like, no, Argentinian red shrimp. I was like, all right, let me try these, and I got. Crab legs and like steaks and stuff, and it was pretty penny, dude. It was
holy shit!
Of cash, yeah.
Did you cook the crab legs?
Yeah, we ended up just like putting them in the oven and like just following basically a cooking instruction. Like it was kind of like one of those date night kind of deals, you know? Mm-hmm. We were just trying new recipes and stuff, and
yeah.
She wanted to cook the crab legs, and yeah. I'm like, all right.
Oh, so it was just for two of you?
Yeah.
That was a couple $100.
Yeah, we dropped some cheese, dude, for dang. Sure. I think even like my half was like 110, I think.
Dang.
Because we went half on it.
Guess went ham.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in a restaurant, though, I mean, that same fucking chick, we went out to a restaurant and I dropped a lot of money.
Yeah. How much was the most expensive steak you bought?
Yeah, a lot.
A lot.
I don't know exactly.
More than 80?
Yeah. It was like, for both of us, it was like 260, 270.
Jesus.
I can't remember what thing we ended up, yeah, we ended up dropping. Yeah, I got a big, like big steak. I don't remember. It was like, not 96 inches, but 96 ounces. No, it was like a big motherfucker. It wasn't prime rib either. I don't know why I wanted the tomahawk steak that they had there.
It just looks cool.
It was at Morton's. You've been to Morton's before? It's ridiculous. I haven't. It's ridiculous, dude.
I don't know. The steaks I'm making are pretty ridiculous, bro.
Yeah, I mean, they're like probably about a few steps higher than you.
How dare you?
Because they use that grass-fed, grass-finished
I bet you
kosher.
They don't.
Yeah, they do.
They're not fucking selling grass fed. Right. They're selling fucking fatty steaks.
No, dude, I mean,
unless you're ordering the grass fed,
all their steaks are fucking grass fed. It says on the menu.
Yeah,
I swear. Yeah, farm to table. It says.
Yeah, farm from the corn farm.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, what else? I don't know. I just like when it comes down to food. For some reason, I. Always spare no expense.
Spare no expense.
I don't know. It feels that way.
It's good.
Yeah. So,
oh, my God. I don't want a steak right now, man.
Dang.
Steaks are bomb, bro.
Kogi fucking trucks outside. What are you going to do about it?
I can't eat that.
Why not?
I'm on low carb again, man.
So what?
I'm not going to be fucking around like you.
What fucking around?
You're eating all these tortillas. You ordered like six things with tortillas.
I know.
And you're telling me about the carbs of one tortilla. You're having like 10 tortillas.
One, two, three. I'm having three tortillas.
Doesn't that Molita have two?
No.
It's just one tortilla.
It's for him. I didn't order.
Okay.
Yeah, there's Andy's here at the office too. So I put out the order. Yeah, it's going to be good.
Mm.
Let's just finish the show already.
It is going to be good. I'm fucking hungry. But I'm not going to eat any. Fuck.
Right,
it is good. Kogi dog is fucking ridiculously good.
Yeah.
So a few weeks ago, when we recorded from your
studio,
your other studio, your music studio,
uh-huh.
People heard that. I borrowed an amp from you.
That's right.
And I took the amp home, was playing it, sounds great. Then I took it to practice, played it at what practice.
Whoa.
It was really good, but there was only three of us, so it was a little less. Yeah. And then the other day we had
it on the gig.
No, not yet. I want to.
Okay.
But I had all four of us there, so we were a little bit louder. And then I started realizing, I was like, man, this amp's not that loud.
Ooh,
it's not that loud. And I took it. I was like, and then I cranked it. I was like, let me crank it.
Yeah.
And I cranked it and it still sounded pretty good, but then it's got a little buzzy. And I was like, I wonder if, something's up with it.
Yeah.
I took it to my gig to show to my brother
And
see if what he thought, you know, 'cause he said amps all his life. So,
yeah.
And he's like, oh, it sounds really good. And then I was like, well, try it. Try to use it for the first set. So we tried to use it on a first set with a big place so he cranked it all the way. Wasn't that loud. It wasn't really loud enough.
Especially it wasn't driving, right?
It wasn't loud enough. And then when he had it up, like when he was playing up stuff up high, it kind of got a little sizzly sound, like zzz, like with the note. It was still playing the note, but it was like a little crackle. And so I asked the drummer, who also is a guitar player, I was like, what do you think? And we're
passing it around.
I'm just saying, what do you think? And then, we were thinking that maybe the tubes are old, you know?
Mm.
You know, tubes need to be changed.
Yeah, that's right.
And I have no idea. How long has it been in your studio?
10 years.
10 years? Yeah. How long since anyone's Never. Used it?
Oh, so used it? 10 years.
Shit.
It gets used not that often. Rarely. I would say probably about like 5 times
okay.
in 10 years.
And then I asked my drummer to check it out. So he looked at it and he's like, oh, let me look at the tubes. He's like, maybe sometimes you can see if they're broke. Mm. So he went to look and he's like, they don't look broke, but they say Fender on them. The tubes say Fender on them. So he's saying, and previously I had done some research on the amp. The amp comes from like 1983.
Oh,
and
shit.
So it's an old amp. And It's made by the guy who made there's another type of amp that the dude came from.
Behringer?
No. Rivera?
Not Rivera.
It might be Rivera. I'll look it up right now. But anyways, it's like a pretty cool amp because it's like this guy who came from another amp company and he built up the Fender amp. But that was in like 1983. So he looked at the back of the amp. He see the tubes. They say Fender on them, and he's saying, "Those amps say those tubes say Fender on them, which means they're probably the original tubes. So the tubes have not been changed since 1983."
Wow.
So I was like, "That's probably because
my not a change tubes.
I don't well because if you change, there's two types of tubes. There's like the preamp tubes and the power tubes.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're called." If you change the power tubes, those ones you have to bias, which I don't know exactly what that means, but you have to bias them. So you have to like coordinate them together or some shit like that.
Are they parallel or
some? I have no idea, but you have to bias them. That's what it's called.
Right.
And so basically the tubes need to be changed.
I wonder if that'll bring back the reverb and stuff. Maybe take it to an amp place and just get it fucking hooked up.
The reverb we were thinking is that because it has a foot switch, but I just didn't have the cable for it. But I think I could get one. If I get the foot switch going, that might turn back on the reverb. You might need the foot switch to turn it on.
I see.
Maybe
just get a take it to an amp place and get it fixed if you want.
I think so.
Yeah.
But my amp guy's out of town.
Is he?
Well, he's not mine, but yeah. My Dang. Brother's amp guy's out of town. But the amp's dope, dude.
So any new music out? What are you listening to, bro? Speaking of fucking playing gigs, you have any new music that you just put out? Your band?
That I just put out?
Because I know you guys have been doing like a fucking video a week and then you stopped and then...
Yeah, we stopped.
Yeah, because I haven't seen you promote any of them.
We haven't done done a new video in a little bit. We're working on stuff. We have gigs lined up. We got shit going down the pike.
Mm.
I have a demo.
What?
Let me see. Here's this is a little fucking 1 minute song here. Or two. Check it out. This is...
Dang. Sounds good.
Yeah.
that's nice, dude.
On shit like that.
Kind of reminds me of that one Mars Volta song.
Really?
Yeah, it's good.
Which one?
I don't play it for you. Sounds exactly like it.
Actually. It sounds exactly like it. It's that song. Is this it? Sound like it.
Yeah,
definitely the same vibe we're going for.
Yeah, yeah.
But I kind of have the realization, when I think we've talked about it before, it's like, you know, you got to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And there's fucking, there has been, there's a little bit of Latin shit, but, not a, I don't know. There's not, there haven't been a mainstream band that does that. Like, that's their thing. That that's actually hit, I feel like.
Yeah, a lot of misses.
There's a lot of one hits, you know. Well, obviously Santana had a shit, had a lot of hits, but like, that was a long time ago, you know. Yeah, what's going to be the next shit?
Well, but it was weird how like Santana made this dope ass comeback and he didn't sing on any of his songs.
I know, he never sang on any of the old ones either.
For real?
No, he had a different singer.
It's dope.
That like
I thought he sang
Black Magic Woman. That's somebody else singing.
Damn, yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, he might be singing on like
Oye
Como Va, but that was like the whole band singing.
Wow.
So he's just a guitar player. Just a dope guitar player.
He's not just a guitar player. He's influential music.
He really is.
Yeah.
And so I just think that might be a little niche.
Did you see
that we could take over?
Speaking of which, I saw this random-ass video on YouTube, and I want to explore it a little bit, where one of the guys, who's a homeless guy,
yeah,
he was playing the drums.
Yeah.
He was telling all these stories about how he used to play with Santana.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did
you saw that, right? Yeah. And then so I guess they reunited him with fucking Carlos. And
the dude's living in a fucking trailer or some shit.
He's living on the street.
Yeah.
That's tight. It made me cry.
That was crazy. It actually was the guy that used to play with Santana. It's so crazy. Yeah. But I often think about that. Like, what do you think it's like when you're rich and you have your homies that you came up with and they're poor?
Well, it sounds funny, but I think you shed the old friends.
Yeah, you just fucking.
You can't relate to me anymore.
I'm too rich, motherfucker.
Yeah,
1% bitch.
I'm in a new tax bracket, homie. I can't fucking tell you how to fucking hide my, you know, $1.5 million in assets in a fucking offshore bank account so I don't get taxed.
So, do you think that happens most of the time? Is that what happens? Like the one guy gets rich and then the other guys are just...
I think there'll be some friends who still keep in touch, but they're not a part of your life anymore.
Dang.
Yeah, unless they can keep up. Because I think to have that kind of money, you have to be super focused on your career and you have to be very like, especially if you're coming from a poor, humble beginnings.
Yeah.
Not even necessarily poor, you know, just, you know, middle class or you know, whatever. Uh-huh. It takes a different mindset to get out of that. So if you're not on the mindset, it's just like, I can't look, we can hang out and we can reminisce, but I'm not fucking with you every day.
Dang.
What
if you think that there's a lot of rappers that, you know, have like this crew of guys that are obviously his homies and shit. But yeah, I mean, I guess if you have a lot of money, you could just like make up jobs for these fools. Like,
yeah, but you go broke. Like MC Hammer fucking had he had like fucking 200 employees or some shit. He brought the hood out with him and he fucking went broke. You know what I mean? And there's also, you know, a lot of things like, You seen Ballers, right? The show Ballers?
No.
Where they're like, hey, we're here. Like, basically, they're giving these.
That's just long?
Yeah, dog. Wow. Fucking season 7, bro.
Oh, shit.
You bastard.
My bad.
The Rock.
Rebel Talk.
So, anyway, now one of my clients is on the show. I watch it all the time because of him. Gotta support, you know?
Yeah,
it's
good.
It's not... I get it. If you're not a sports guy, I get it.
It's not good.
Well, no, I'm saying it's not like if you're not a sports person, you just... Why would you watch it?
Oh, okay. You know?
Other than because you're mad crush on The Rock. Oh, but, yeah. I mean, other than that, there's no other reason. So they talk about... They do these crazy things where, like, you know... NBA players, football players will spend their money, like, and ask for these crazy advances. No, because they get paid like only every month, for example.
Yeah.
And let's just say that they get like $750,000 a month, right? Let's just say. Shit. I'm just saying. Yeah. So, or whatever. So they would spend that money, let's spend it, and they would have to ask people like their agents and the whatever to front them like $1.5 million. And they have
insane.
And because they know that they're gonna get
another check
because they're in fucking the NFL, they're like, oh, come on, man, I got that check coming through, I could pay you back within the, you know what I mean? And they're like, all right, and they're basically throwing all this crazy money. But what one of the scenes they talked about was when The Rock was like, he's like, I'm not worried about you spending your money, I'm worried about like your, oh, actually, maybe it wasn't even on Ballers, but someone said it's like, you don't have to worry about, like them, you spending your money like fast. It's that one hanger honor who wants to start a music label or, you know, with your money or wants to, that will tear it, like, that will like ultimately, like, you know,
make you go broke.
It will, because, you know, like, oh, we want to start a music label or a production company. I was like, ah, here we go, like, how can we make it cost effective? You know, are you just here to fucking say that you're doing it? And they give their money to the wrong people. You know, there is a fucking boxer that we interviewed who lost over $100 million. Because he just didn't manage his money right. There's people taking money from him left and right.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane, dude. There's also, you know who Allen Iverson is, the basketball player?
Yeah.
So he had so much money, dude, that he'd have it in bags in his house. And friends would come and just literally steal a bag.
That's literally retarded. That's so stupid.
Yes. Allen Iverson was one of the biggest NBA players and was getting paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of fucking money.
I mean, but that's really stupid. Just have bags of money in your house.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean...
You know, he literally... All right, so here's the story. Here's a tall tale, which is could be true, could be not, about Allen Iverson. So he went to practice or something, and one of the rookies said... And he drove up in a fucking dope... Allen Iverson drove up in a really dope, like... Maserati or fucking, not Maserati, but a Bentley. It was all hooked up. It was dope. And then one of the guys, the rookies, just started. He goes, damn, man, one day I want to get a car like that. Fool just threw him the keys. He said, take it. So that's irresponsible. Mm-hmm. You know, if there isn't certain things that to protect you, like, because when you come from dirt and all of a sudden you get that $1 million check, mm-hmm. Like, you get a house, you get all this stuff, but then guess what? Your monthly nut is fucking $2 million or mm-hmm. some shit. You know what I mean? You're like, what the fuck? Or maybe your fucking monthly nut is like $700,000 a month.
Basically, as soon as you stop making money, you're broke.
Fucking gonna get broke. Yeah. So I mean, it's insane. Like, there's, if you want to live that lifestyle, dope. Can you sustain it long term? It's up to you. It's up to the person, you know. It's insane.
Mm-hmm. That's what it said in that book, The Millionaire Next Door.
Yeah.
It talked about all those sports players are like infamous for just having tons of money and then being absolutely broke.
Yeah. Same thing with the lottery
living winners. On the fucking ledge, the edge.
Yeah. The lottery winner, same shit.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you need someone to manage your money, you need to watch that person manage your money. It's not just like, oh, I want to not think about it, because that person will probably take from you too, you know? Mm-hmm. So right now I'm having that problem with so much money. So much money.
And he's buying extra tacos down there.
But yeah. So,
I mean, that's what you know, Brian Quinn from Practical Jokers. Have you heard
of
him?
Yeah, of course.
He was talking about how he said he's just tired of, like, you kind of have to cut out people is what he was saying. Yeah. Cause he's like, it's just like, I just got tired of all of the people asking me for things all the time. So can I get tickets to this? Can I get tickets to this? Can you give me this? Can you give me that? You know,
I think sometimes it's like when I go visit family and I say, yo, what's up, man? Remember those times, blah, blah, blah. But then they're like, they'll talk about something that I just can't relate with. They're like, oh man. Oh, so this one fucking, this one chick or whatever. So they're talking about like, or they'll talk about like their cars, or they'll be like, oh, they have, I can't relate with them sometimes, you know, cause it's just like, I don't know. Like, I get what they're saying, but it's, I don't know. It's just like a lot. I can recognize drama. From a mile away, and I live a different lifestyle sometimes, so it's like I'm not trying to go, oh shit, I came up on $40 because so and so, I fucking, you know what I mean, like I sold them something that blah blah blah, and it kind of got me wondering about like my whole mentality, from just in life, you know what I mean, like what the fuck I've been doing and how my mentality doesn't differs, because it's like you're not trying to get yourself out of that situation, you got to do things differently than what's normally been done. So I don't know, when I go back and visit family and they're talking about like, yo man, I got this new car stereo and it's dope and everything, but it's just like, yeah, I saved up all this my money for it to get this car stereo, which is like, I can't knock it, I'm not even talking shit on it, but it's just like, I don't save my money for those things, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's a different vibe, and it's okay. It doesn't mean that you guys still can't have the good old times, but they're in a different space, so they're like, you know, they don't have any money in their bank account. Not saying that makes you judge them more, but it's a different survival mentality that I come from, you know? So I don't know.
I could see that. I just feel like if I had a ton of money, it would be very hard for me not to like try to do that exact same shit and try to give my friends jobs and shit.
Yeah.
It would be very hard for me not to try to do that.
To not do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense.
It's just because it's like, I just know what it's, you know, not like to not have money and then to get a cool job.
I want to end on this. Mm-hmm. So there's this book that that I just became aware of. That's pretty fucking dope. And one of the guys sent me a link, and it's basically like study notes. So if you didn't, it's Spark a YouTube notes. Link. Yeah, it's like if you wanted to do a report on it. These videos exist for that reason.
Sum it up.
But so this guy, but they go in certain paragraphs to give you the gist of it. So I went ahead. My friend sent me this link. He's like, yo, this is cool. I listened to it, and it's pretty insane. And basically, it's telling you why the resistance of doing things in your life, and there's a whole thought process. The resistance
of your creativity. To be able to create something that requires a lot of dedication, a lot of work, a lot of focus, a lot of attention and awareness, and doing a lot of things that seemingly might feel uncomfortable, but as you get into the flow, you recognize that it's part of the process, and you begin to enjoy the process. But before you even get there, you experience resistance or stories that you tell yourself of why you can't do it, or the reasons why it's going to be impossible for you to dedicate the time necessary. If you've experienced any of those symptoms, then the core of this is what he calls resistance. Resistance.
So this book's called The War of Art. It's basically telling you that if you're like, there's a lot of things of you not creating every day. You're like, yeah, well, you're relying on your talent, or you're not practicing, or you're not whatever. Whatever it is to get you to do what you really should be doing, you're going to face resistance first. That's the first line of defense. And if you can't get over that resistance, you can get new friends. You got to get new friends. Because, like, they haven't got over resistance. Certain people who stay in the same place and don't progress. And maybe they might be your family members. You could love them for who they are, but you don't have to. We're just not the same person because, like, I'm fighting the resistance. La resistance. So
I definitely see that with Christina's family. Mm-hmm. For her, she's like, you know, very educated, yeah. And then she's at work, and she's in a whole nother world of fucking college people, and it's like I feel weird hanging out with them sometimes because they're all so like
woke.
Square, yeah, and woke, yep. And it's like. It's like, oh God, you just would never, like, I just don't feel like we vibe a lot.
Right.
And then same thing with her and her family is like, they're just like completely different people because she's in a whole different world, man.
And I'm not saying you have to give up your friends, but it's a sad reality sometimes when you're like, oh, like you can't take your friends with you all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you can in some cases and you can try to be like.
Are you trying to end the show?
Entourage.
Entourage
is a good example of like where, you know, it's loosely based on Mark Wahlberg, where he brought all his friends with him. And in that case, yeah, I can imagine that'd be dope. Mm-hmm. Mainly because he's just afraid, right? He just doesn't want to go through it by himself because he brings his friends with him. I think that's where the root of it is. Hmm. I don't think sometimes friends just don't make it. You're just like, I've had friends for years. I still keep in touch with some of my friends, and it has nothing to do whether they made it or not. But it's like it's a different kind of mentality. Of not even making it. I think everyone has to find their own happiness, you know, mm-hmm. and live their fucking true shit. Like if you compromised in life or you feel like, you know, it has nothing to do with what it was, like being a musician or being a comedian or being mm-hmm. an actor or being a director, a writer or whatever, what have you. It doesn't matter because those are individuals' dreams. And maybe it's like, you know, providing for a family and get a house. And like there's other goals out there that are just completely fucking fine.
Yeah.
But you have to find that happiness yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. If you're not down for that, then it's like at the core of it, like having something meaningful instead of just bullshit chit chat, which is like cool. Mm-hmm. And it is cool at certain times, but for the most part, it doesn't really like consume my life, you know? I don't let it consume me. So get ready, man. Get rid of those friends.
All right. I'll start cutting them out one by one.
You guys know where to find us at ADHD Cast on everything. Be sure to share, subscribe, tell your friends, review. Because I noticed there's no new reviews. Hook us up. Refresh that shit. Hook us up.
Shit.
And donate to our Patreon because we love you.
And big things coming.
All right, guys. Later.